CliffCentral.com.
Okay, this guy's just, he keeps on giving me life. Kate Shonata coming through on that one. Well, it was his remix of Fall in Love by Gold Link. What a dope track, man. So dope. I mean, this guy, I was checking out some of his music on SoundCloud, right? He's got about, you know, on his timeline, it was probably, what, 6-7 remixes of people's songs and whatnot.
Yeah.
And then he's got a bunch of his original tracks. And they're nothing alike. Like, each one has got a different vibe to them. You know, when someone talks about versatility, they're talking about Kate Shonata. This guy is just, man.
That's what you call true art, though. That's what you call, you know, true creativity. Like, it's endless.
Genius. Yeah, man.
Every time you do something, people are surprised. Like, damn. What? You just ventured off into that aspect of creativity and mindset. That's insane. So that's what it's about.
It's really dope.
Where the girls in the back, though, like, oh, my God, yes. No, man. God, so crazy.
You know, I think it's sad that, like, as guys, we're always looking for girls to, you know, affirm our things.
For
like
the vibe, for
like,
the energy.
You know what I mean? If it's not a party up until girls pitch up. You know, like, as in guys can't party by themselves. It's ridiculous. My thing is, like, have you ever been to a cock festival? Like, you go to a party and it's just dick.
I've everywhere. Been to a squad announcement. I've been there.
Yeah.
Imagine that. I've been there. I know what that's like. No one wants that.
No one wants that.
You don't want that for your life.
It's like... It's so weird, man. It's like coming across a rose with no thorns. It's just weird.
We were actually on tour the other week in Limpopo, and it didn't become a tour or an experience until some of the guys took a picture with the two hottest females, or the one hottest female on the tour.
And her closest friend.
Yeah, yeah. And her closest being. And like, oh, yes, now it's a damn party. But we had been on tour that time, so yeah. It's not a damn thing until girls show up,
yeah,
I suppose.
Yeah. Anyway, how you doing, buddy?
I am absolutely fantastic. I was okay for like the last 3 days, but being here right now with you, being here right now in this new space.
Yeah.
And
it's so intimate. Yeah. I like it, actually.
Is it?
I had my objections initially, but like now that I think about it, I'm like, you know what? This just could work. This could possibly work. It could be fun.
I'm excited for it as well.
Yeah.
So how are you?
I am a ball of emotions. Mm-hmm. I'll rather not go into it. Like, mm-hmm. I had... I don't know which word I could use to actually sum up the week I've had.
The fuckery.
Yeah, it's just been shitty. Okay. Like, yeah, my week was diarrhea, basically. That's how bad my week was. So let's not get into it, okay?
Okay.
But anyway,
I'm bring
good
this man
now.
A toilet stool, please.
No, I'm good right now.
I might just shit on the chair.
No, I'm okay. Good right now. I mean, I love being here, so it's chilled. I want us to get into something. So the whole week, most of the country, or the whole country, has been mourning the loss of Mandoza, man.
Mm.
And this is obviously not news, but the reaction that people had on social media, mm-hmm. like, I want to actually ask you this. Have we, you know, gotten to the point where we are so desensitized, like, we don't give a fuck if someone passes on? Like, the memes that have come out this week have been disgusting, man. I saw one.
Really?
Yeah, I saw one that said, RDP Mandoza, we will always remind you. You know what I mean? Yes, it's funny. I get it, right? Yeah. And Mandoza didn't really have the best grip on the English language.
Yeah.
But he just passed on. Like, you know what I mean? This guy, his body was barely cold before these things started coming out.
I don't think it should change, though. It shouldn't change just because you've died and we need to now make you a different being. Like, you weren't Mandoza. He was Mandoza. And for the longest time in the country, in terms of social media, he was that guy that was...
He was our darling. Yeah.
Yeah, our darling in terms of being bad for English. Like, he was bad for the English language. And that was the thing. Like, yeah, that's cool, man. And we were running with that. So now that he's passed on, it can't suddenly change. You can't tell people, you can't muzzle people and tell them, no, you can't say certain things, or you can't put certain things out. They're out there. They need to express themselves, because you need to remember, end of the day, death affects us differently.
True.
And that's how those people are expressing their remembrance of Mandoza. Like, yeah, this was our guy in that way.
Yeah.
And we all got introduced to him in different ways.
You know, but I think, you know, with how I grew up, like, when someone passed on, you didn't make jokes about their, you know, about their lives or the type of things that they did or whatever. You know, like, the week that person passes on and the week of the funeral, everyone tells the right kind of stories. You know what I mean? Like, you wait like a week, maybe a week and a half, and that's when all the truth comes out. Yeah, but he wasn't really that great. You know what I mean? I was, you know, surprised with how quickly...
It happened.
Yeah, it was like the moment the announcement came out that Mandoza has passed on, there you go, RDP Mandoza. You know what I mean?
In terms of my timeline, I think initially it was people were like, oh my gosh, he's passed on. He was so young. He was 38. And we can't believe that certain concerts or organizations brought him out to come perform when he was as sick as he was. And we're like, how could they do that? And I saw one news publication calling him a rapper. SA rapper dies, and people were on that like, no, he wasn't a rapper. He was a Kwaito star. He was, you know, that's the brand that he represented. He was Kwaito.
Yeah.
So, but end of the day, man, whether people are gonna make fun of it or be mourning in the sense of traditionally speaking and crying and be like, oh my gosh, it's so sad. You can't tell people how to react to death.
Yeah.
It reaches us and it affects us differently.
It's the final frontier. There's no coming back from that.
No, it is. No, there isn't.
That's the last one. That is the last thing you're going to do on earth is die.
I just hope that your funeral goes well. Because I hate when funerals go bad.
Right?
When like, oh, the casket, it fell when it was going down.
Oh.
Jamie, like, you know, certain things like that. You just hope that everything goes well.
I was so irritated with the people that some, well, not the people, but like some of the people that came through to my grandmother's funeral.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, because my uncle is the person that he is. You know, the Motlante surname and all of this stuff. People were behaving like jackasses, man. Like, I'm like, look, dude, I'm crying for my grandmother. You want to sing struggle songs because Jacob Zuma is in the building. Like, come on. Please. Can I... Like, I was like, look, at church, can we mourn and praise this woman the way she loved praising? Mm. You know what I'm saying? My gran loved church all the time. Like, every single day. Like, you couldn't eat a sandwich without praying for it. You know? So.
Sounds like you can open a jar without praying for it.
You know what I mean? So, I mean, it was one of those things whereby you've got a mourning family missing a loved one. And people deciding, okay, this is the first and only time I can get this close to the president. So, therefore, I'm going
to
act the fool.
And they decided to remix and be in their time trying to take selfies.
Right?
Like, yeah, do the damn thing, bro.
Man.
Hey.
And then I had to sit through another speech by our president. I mean, watching them on TV is bad enough, but up close,
life.
It's another story.
Ach, man.
It's a different story, but
it's
nonetheless.
Done now, yeah.
Nonetheless, well,
succeed under RIP.
You know,
to the great
Mandoza, man, Nkalagata, forever, man. We'll forever remember that guy. I mean, he's etched into our minds.
Some people die better than others, but I'm going to leave it at that.
There's no such thing as a better death. Anyway, moving along. We are going to be chatting to an international DJ. I'm so happy. This is our first international guest.
Yeah.
This is so dope.
No, but Lyle was kind of international, though, in a sense.
No.
He was local.
He was a local boy who did international things. Ooh. But he wasn't international. You know what I mean? Like, he wasn't from another place.
Okay.
I went to primary school with the dude.
No, but
I
he's
know.
White, though. So that means he's got, like, Polish blood and English blood. Can we count the blood cells then?
No, I'm sorry.
First international guest.
Major,
global.
I am so happy about this, man. I'm so stoked. We've got DJ Supernova in the building.
What up?
How you doing, man?
I'm well. How you guys doing?
Ah, so fantastic. You know, I let me admit this, right, before we go anywhere. I've always loved the Black American accent. Like, I think it's the coolest thing ever. You know what I'm saying? Especially New York. Like I was in New York for what? 4 days, maybe? And came back.
In New York?
Yeah, a couple of years ago. Family trip, okay? Leave me alone. Na-na-na-na-na. Anyway. And, I mean, like, listening to the people talk is so cool. I love how colorful you guys have, you know, made the English language. It's so dope. How you doing, though?
I'm well. I mean, we speak in cursive.
Yeah.
So it's like, hello.
Hello. Yeah, I swear by the end of this interview, I'm going to get it right.
Right.
This is why they taught us how to write in cursive in high school and primary school.
Right.
Especially primary school.
Because
it looks and it sounds better.
Yeah.
Depending on how it is you know, curve out your words.
Yeah.
Because it could just look like gibberish. But yeah.
If you're writing like a doctor, you don't want to talk like that.
You know, I've never understood why doctors have such terrible handwriting.
Because they don't really care. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, okay. Man. Anyway, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
You're going to be on the lineup for Spring Fiesta, man.
Yeah, I'm excited.
But before we get into that, let's go all the way back. Let's rewind this thing. So there you are, as a kid in New York.
A churin.
You know? a children. Yeah, there you go.
I just say in the South.
The churin.
You know? And what made you fall in love with music? Where does your relationship with music begin?
Well, my family's from the Dominican Republic, so I always grew up listening to, you know, merengue, salsa, bachata, and whatnot. Yeah. And then my brother brought in this cassette tape, and I'm showing my age a little bit. And this was like the first hip-hop album I ever had in possession, and it was Onyx's Back the Fuck Up.
Yeah.
And it was like, okay, cool, this is crazy.
This is life.
Yeah. So, I mean, from there on, you know, I just started listening to like Tupac, Biggie, and whatever was relevant at the time. And I started breakdancing. So I was like always into music, always into hip hop since prior, like I was like 5.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's just the love with the music. And actually with DJing, I didn't start until college.
Yeah.
So I was like 19. Then I started DJing.
Would you say then you sort of waited for it? Discovering other aspects of this musical journey and, you know, trying to find where you fit. Because some people rush into it and they're like, oh, yes, DJ, that's what I want to do.
Well, it just happened naturally, you know. The reason I started DJing was because I didn't like the party scene at the school. I went to Penn State University, which is like 87% white. And just like the vibes wasn't what I was used to being from New York. So I just started DJing just as a hobby. I had no idea. I had no will to do this as a career. It just kind of happened naturally, and I'm very happy, because otherwise I would have been sitting in a cubicle right now.
Doing what exactly?
I went to school for computer engineering.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which isn't that bad. Like, that wouldn't be a bad career path to be on.
It's
I think.
Yeah, but I'd rather work for myself.
In fact, a lot of people that do IT and that kind of thing, like they don't see the point in coming into the office. Like, why the hell should I come into the office? I'll work from home.
You're making massive money. Well, I suppose being global as you are now, there's a bit of money there. Hey?
Yeah.
It's
not as good as IT. It's good, but it's like, oh, rather be supernova all day.
You might be wrong. It might be better than IT.
All right, let's see if you can go as far back as to remember your very first official gig. What was that like?
Oh, man. Actually, I do remember that like it was yesterday. It was a homecoming gig. It was a Latin frat party, and it was like in this little game room that they had on campus. One of their frat brothers from another school was supposed to come and DJ the second half. So I DJed the first half, and it was just a really dope-ass party. And the other guy ended up being super late because it was snowing where he was at.
Yeah.
So he didn't even make it until like the last 30 minutes.
Yeah.
And he was like, nah, you're doing your thing. Keep going. So it was cool. It was cool. And it was kind of like, all right, I can control the crowd.
Yeah.
And it just got better from there.
I think as you know, you and I, Jack, as people who've been on stage before, you know when someone else has got the juice, like they've got the sauce.
Yeah.
So you're not going to come on and be like, okay, let me take over from you, you know, because I was scheduled to do this gig. If you walk in the building, you hear the crowd and you see that the man is doing his damn thing, you're going to let him do his damn thing.
Yeah, man. I mean, game recognized game. Man.
Straight up.
Yeah. You know, like you can't be hating on someone who's especially doing the same thing you are.
Yeah.
You know, I feel a lot of, you know, insecure DJs do that. Like, if you've been on the decks for 2 hours and someone is there trying to, you know, play like an hour set and you're like, nah, I'm the resident DJ. You know? Yeah. It just shows a level of insecurity.
I mean, it happens. I mean, and it's also people are territorial. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like, it happened to me coming here at first, you know, until, like, people started noticing that I was not here just to make money or take over. You know what I'm saying? I'm actually genuinely here to help bridge things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In fact, your relationship with South Africa is very interesting as well. You've been here a couple of times.
Plenty of times.
Yeah.
Do you have a house here somewhere?
Not yet, you know.
Shekniana.
You know, actually, to be honest, I haven't really made any money during like any of the trips that I've made here. So, you know, just kind of working to get in a better place. But I do plan to buy something. And I could be a citizen.
That's love right there, man. That's love right there.
God damn. We already have, he used to be Mos Def, Yassine Bey now. Mm-hmm. But he's in Cape Town. We got him. We got him. We can join.
I mean, they also, didn't they not stop? Well, Stop giving him access to the
States. Something like that. But we had him for a while. He just had to pop my bubble.
So in terms of, I suppose, your heritage, does that speak to your versatility as a DJ?
Absolutely. I speak Spanish. You've
been killing them girls, damn.
Don't put me on the spot. Just like with Latin music and also being from the Bronx, you know, you have all types of different cultures there. So, you know, dancehall, reggae, Latin, house, etc., you know, was flowing throughout the streets since I was a kid.
What is the DJ vibe like in there? Because, I mean, we've got our own little culture this side as far as how DJs get gigs and that kind of vibe. Like, since you've experienced a bit of both, how would you compare the two?
I think it's very parallel, to be quite honest. It's just the magnification is different in the States because there's like 100,000 times more people trying to do the same shit. And, I mean, of course, things here are also saturated. But, you know, I think that the biggest difference is kind of like skill level.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'll just leave it at that.
That you can't be more straightforward than that, you know? As well, I mean, like, what type of music do you listen to outside of the music that you play?
I listen to a lot of weird shit. Like Toro y Moi. I do listen to a lot of Quechonada.
Yeah.
Just a lot of, like, weird stuff that I'm not gonna play in the club.
That's true.
I do play those things depending on the gigs, but more than likely I'm not listening to OT Genesis in the car. I mean, no offense to him, it's just like, you know, I hear it 100,000 times. Like, I don't want to hear it if I'm gonna play it, you know, like if I'm driving to a gig, I'm not listening to the same shit that I'm gonna play in an hour.
Alright, so like if we were to grab onto your phone or your iPod, right.
Here it comes. He's about to put a song. I'm like, put him on, man.
Yeah, man.
Spread the music, spread the love, bring it over here.
I actually been listening to a lot of Anderson .Paak.
Yeah. Oh man.
This is a dude from Compton named Boogie the Beast, which is pretty dope.
Yeah.
Some dude from DC named Chaz French. D'Angelo's last album was superb. Dom Kennedy, I don't know if you guys know about him.
Yeah. I saw him on the BET Cypher a couple of years ago.
Yeah. Division is super dope.
Mm-hmm. Straight up.
You know, I don't know if, you know.
Now that we
with that's Debbie for the ladies right there. Wow, what else? Frank Ocean, old French Montana. Mac and Cheese 2 was super dope.
Yeah,
I think that's a good amount right there.
That sounds like a fair balance to me.
Yeah.
I mean, you've got different, it's eclectic. You've got different sounds, you know, different grooves, that kind of thing. I think I like your playlist. I think so far, so good. So far, so good. You're still in my good books.
We could definitely do that straight up.
Oh, the internet as well.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that track they did with Quechonada, Girl, man.
Girl.
Don't get me started, please.
Now, Supernova, in terms of, do you ever get emails, guys just saying, yo, man, put me on, just like
at
demos?
At least 30 to 50 email DMs every week.
What?
Mostly from here.
How do you deal with that, though?
Obviously,
it's love, because they respect your craft and they know that you can, you know, put them on like that.
Yeah. But I mean, I answer each one. Sometimes it's not like in a timely manner, but I just tell them that they have to figure it out. You know, it's not like I don't want to help anybody, but you have to be able to get yourself to a certain place before I start making those type of moves. You know what I'm saying? Like, everyone starts like this. Hey, what up, Supernova? How you doing? I'm the very best.
Yeah.
From where I'm from, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, okay, I was just there and I didn't hear anybody, you know, driving by playing your music. So, like, you know, there's business behind talent. You know what I'm saying? Like, you have to be able to work everything else outside of the music. Like, the talent's only like 15%.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's one of the few things that people don't seem to understand. I think Will Smith said it perfectly. He said, you're born with a talent. You need to develop it into a skill.
Absolutely.
Which are, those are two different concepts entirely.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, growing up in, I wouldn't say impoverished. Well, maybe that's the word to use. Like, you know, poor backgrounds and whatnot, surrounded by that kind of thing. You know, survivor's remorse is something that you have to deal with.
Yeah.
You know, do you think that, how would you, you know, tell someone who's in a position that you are in, you know, on the come up or getting to the point where they want to be, how do you advise that person to deal with those 50 emails per week?
I mean, I don't know. I just tell people, how bad do you want it? You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, growing up, I definitely wasn't rich. You know what I'm saying? It was 4 siblings. Both my parents were there, thankfully. But like, I've been working since I was like 9 years old. You know, I was bagging groceries, getting pennies and quarters at a time. You know, just took out my first loan, bought my first DJ set. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's ways to do it. And sometimes you have to sacrifice things like girls, TV, sports. And you have to work 2 to 3 jobs to get the equipment that you need to do your shit. You got to do it.
Yeah.
There's really no excuse. I mean, you know, some people are going to struggle more than others, of course, but how bad do you want it?
Yeah.
Pay yourself and owe yourself, I suppose.
Straight up.
You got to do it for you.
Yeah. And invest in yourself.
In terms of your journey right now, what is Supernova's journey? What's your path right now?
Right now, just trying to continue building this bridge between the U.S. and SA market. And then I want to further develop that to like the U.S. and the African market. You know, I'm providing mixes for different stations here. Botswana, Zimbabwe, Zambia, and Tanzania. And you know, I mean, long story
short, you even sleep?
What is that? I went to sleep today at like 8 in the morning and I woke up at 9:30.
Yeah.
And it's just, you know, you got to do it.
Yeah.
You know, some days your body will tell you, okay, you got to sleep, nigga. But
yeah.
But, you know, for now it's like, yo, you know, I'm only here for X amount of time. I'm trying to get these records cut. Like, there's no time to sleep.
Besides, okay, since you decided sleep is not an option, there has to be a point in time when you get some relaxation. Like, what do you do to, you know, hang out, just chill?
I don't know what. I honestly don't know how to hang out and chill.
Yeah?
Yeah. I mean, I've been doing it here. Because, it's like, the pace here is a lot slower than what I'm used to. So it's like, I can't always force the situation.
Did you hear that,
Joe? I'm sure they did.
Yeah. So, it's, you know, it's just hard, you know. I just got to deal with it. Deal with the emotions.
When you say that the pace here is different, because we go to other parts of the province.
And it's slower.
Or other parts of the country. And we're like, ah, it's not Joburg enough. It's not Gauteng enough. It's so slow.
I know. Trust me.
Yeah.
I was in East London. Beautiful place, but it was slow as hell.
I'm happy you're enjoying the Wi-Fi here.
Yo, I don't even want to tell you what I downloaded in the last 10 minutes.
Now, when you say you've come here and, you know, you haven't made any money really in a sense, then what's the point? What are you what are you aiming to achieve in terms of being here, you know, going back and forth between the States and here and other parts of the world?
You know, like, you just got to do what you love and then the money's going to come. You know what I'm saying? You know, we're just building situations. So I'm pretty much planting seeds, you know, helping the guys get on Sway in the morning, they get that kind of notoriety, helps them a lot here. And, you know, you might hear some like collaborations coming soon.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's things like that. So, you know, I'm building on both sides at the same time. So come here, do my part. Cause a lot of people know my name, but they don't know what I look like and stuff that. So, you know, making these trips, you know, is allowing that. And, you know, having these interviews, people get to know me a little better.
You know, people measure success in different ways. It's really relative. I mean, at what point will you feel that, okay, this is where I am successful. What I wanted to do is done.
Never.
Yes.
Right.
Yes. That's what we need right there.
Yeah.
So the hustle never ends.
No.
I will never be content.
Yeah.
Ever.
You know what? I'm
you look like you're blown away right now.
Yeah,
you're gone.
I didn't expect that. Yeah. You know, a lot of people will come in, when I've got the house and the what and all of this stuff.
Nah. There's always more, dog. Like, there's always, like, every day's a chance to do better, do worse. So, you know, so why not do better every day?
Was there a point, an aspect of the continent as a whole that convinced you that, okay, this is a market that I can, you know, penetrate and be part of and elevate in a sense?
Yeah.
Was there a song? Was there an artist? A conversation? What sort of brought you down here?
To be honest, my very first trip here, sometimes I do sound design or I DJ hip hop theater. So I was here for the Grahamstown Arts Festival July 2011. And most people don't even know that's like the second biggest arts festival in the world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I just kind of went out every day and tried to get like some DJ slots. And then one day I met Naked in Lulu Cafe. And then from there, like, you know, we just built a relationship and I was featuring on their show for about 3.5 years. So I was, it wasn't something that was planned. It was just like, you know, I was building a fan base through that avenue and just started buying flights here and to see where things can go.
I think now it resonates more what you've said in terms of, you know, there will never be the pinnacle or you know, the highest point of success. Like, you'll never be satisfied. Because you coming down here and still having that character and that grit to get in there and find ways and maneuver around. Because, I mean, you could come in with an ego or with an aspect of, I'm from the States and I've been on such and such a platform, so you should look at me different. But for you to come down here and actually still want more, you know what I mean? Like, for you to still be fighting at the same level as guys who are still trying to get in. And that's, wow.
I mean, you just got to do it. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, at the same time, it's not like I'm an entity like Drama or Khaled as of now.
Okay.
So I can't just come here and be like, yo, I'm this person and this is what it is. But, you know, it's cool. I think in the long run, people are going to appreciate this process.
Yeah.
You know, and it won't be like, oh, he's just this person. And he's just here to do this, you know. So that's important to me.
I hear that. I was checking out your profile last night and right now, actually. You've performed with a couple of notable acts, man. Like, there's Pitbull, Chance the Rapper. But I won't lie, my favorite people on this list is Method Man and Redman.
That show was nuts.
Oh, man. If you can, please just tell us about that.
That specific show?
Yeah.
So this was like when I was in college and there was a club, which had like the weirdest layout ever. So it was just packed with like crazy white kids. And Method Man and Red Man are just nuts. Like they climb everything. And they jump into the crowd and yo, it was some crazy ass energy that day. Very memorable.
Really dope. Yeah. Is there one that just sticks out more than the others? Like if it could, if we were to jump into your brain and find your best, you know, performance or your best set ever, which one would it be?
The last one. Like, every one. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, my purpose as a DJ is I want you to feel like this was a memorable night. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not here to just play the fucking top 10, 15, 30 records that you want to hear. You know what I'm saying? I want to, I use mashups a lot in my sets, and that it's always great to get that reaction. You know, people like turn around like, what the fuck did he just play? This is crazy. You know, like I put Puma King on Jamrock.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, I do some weird shit and it works and people just like, oh, wow. You know, and then they get into it more because it shows that I'm putting time into it. You know what I'm saying?
For sure.
People appreciate that.
All right. What we're going to do is, right, we're going to take a bit of a musical breather. Right.
Cool.
Because no.
really. Okay. We're gonna take. I promise you're gonna like this musical breathe. I promise. You wanna bet?
Do the damn thing. We can bet. How much you wanna bet?
I don't know. $50.
Yeah, I got that. Okay, cool.
All right, cool. Let's go. Okay, we've sorted this out. Noah has to give me $50. Yes.
Is that? Oh.
You owe me $50. Okay. Right. Welcome back to it, man. It is 20-something with myself, just another cool kid, with my co-host here, my compadre, Mr. Neo Van Given. And we hang out with international DJ Supernova.
Orale. ¿Qué pasa?
Really, bro? You talk about my people, man. Nah, it's cool.
I'm going to pull back.
Hey, vato.
Uh-oh.
I almost just, you know.
You almost just went in?
Yeah, man. I almost went Viva La Raza on your ass,
okay.
Man.
Okay.
Anyway, man.
Feeling dangerous.
Hi, Jonte. All right, so we were, you know, talking about your history and all of that stuff.
Yeah.
Now, I really want us to get into some of the, you know, current events, like some of the things that are happening in America right now. It seems as if, like, from our point of view,
motherfuckers is getting killed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And a lot of them. It's it's so amazing to me. Like, a lot of these things are caught on camera, and to find out that, you know, these cops are still being set free, they're being acquitted. Like, it's not even a thing of, okay, second degree murder. Like, how is it? Like, how does it feel being a black American in America in 2016?
I'm gonna just say that I'm grateful to be here, you know, during this moment. You know, it's very unfortunate, and it's something that has to change, structurally, you know. There's no reason why cops only need to train for 6 months to be a cop, you know, and I think people have to be psychologically evaluated. Cause, you know, like, especially this picture that we get painted as, like, we're dangerous just because we're black, you know, and not necessarily, and that's without knowing our past history, as a person. Like, you know, most of these people that are dying are either if they do have a gun, they have it legally. If they don't have a gun, they still die.
Yeah.
If they follow the rules, they still die. And it's like, yo, we have to find a way to police the police. And the other issue is that, you know, back in the day, you know, there was a lot of protests and Martin Luther King and Huey P. Newton and Black Panther and all that stuff. And all of them got killed. So, like, you know, people are scared to protest in a way that I think needs to be done in order to get a result that we want.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
So, you know, I'm not a big fan of marching. I don't think that's going to do anything. But what I think change will come if you threaten people's money, livelihood, and lives.
Some of your thoughts on, you know, the Black Lives Matter campaign. I mean, it's global now.
I mean, I think it's something that's really important. You know, before making any change, we have to be very educated on the topics. We have to be educated on the laws in whatever state that we're trying to change, because, like, you know, there's national laws and there's also state laws. And we have to be organized, which is the most difficult thing, you know, with all the socioeconomic situations that we're in. We're kind of, you know, it's like dog eat dog world. So, like, nobody helps each other. Like, I remember growing up, like, your neighbor could reprimand you if he was wilding out in the street, you know, and now it's like, I don't even know my neighbor's name, you know? So, you know, we have to build a sense of community and also stop spending money on other people. Like other groups, of people, stuff.
Yeah,
yeah.
I saw this documentary series called Hidden Colors.
1 through 4, I've seen all of them.
Yeah, man. Yeah. And some of the things that were being said there were things as an African person that I didn't even know.
Yeah,
you know. I think you're quite right as far as the education.
Absolutely.
It's extremely important.
Yeah,
you know?
Mean we've contributed so much to this world.
Yeah,
and we're talking about science,
mathematics,
hygiene, you know, all these things. Like, you know, a lot of our libraries were burned down, you know, things of that nature. And it's black people's been everywhere before, you know, America was discovered and all that.
Yeah.
So, you know, we have a lot to be proud of. And I think if we knew that, if we knew what we came from and what we have, what we have accomplished, we will feel and know better about ourselves, which I think is the most important thing. Because it's like, you know, Black Americans feel that their history started as slaves. You know, not that they come from, you know, West Africa where, you know, all these wonderful things happen.
People like Mensa Musa.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, there's just so much to unearth. Mm-hmm. And I think once we get these kind of conversations going, the more and more we'll find out, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
For sure.
Is it the place of global entertainers as a whole, as a craft, to speak on these matters that affect society, you know, to not sort of go mum on them when they happen, to not turn a blind eye, in a sense?
I think it's very important. It just, you know, it has to be done right, you know. So you can't just say whatever the hell you want. You know, you have to be, like, educated, you know, like, Colin Kaepernick is doing the best job right now. You know, like he's taking a stance. He's like he's losing endorsements and not giving a shit about it. You know, just to push this agenda. And now like other NFL players are taking a stance with him. And then there's different groups and that's supporting them. Even though certain cops are like trying to boycott working if his team plays in their stadium or whatnot. So I'm like, how the fuck are you gonna, you know? Sorry. How the hell are you
relax.
You know, you're not gonna work. Like we pay for you.
Yeah.
We cops get paid out of our taxes.
Yeah.
You can't tell me you're not gonna work. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's something that has to be corrected.
I was watching The Daily Show a couple of days ago. I think it was last week or the week before, I'm not too sure. T.I. sat down with Trevor Noah and they were discussing rap music. I'd also like to hear your point of view. I mean,
we
listen to rap music and, you know, pull out the Desi, shoot you this, do that. But, in you know, maybe not in the same breath, but I mean, they then turn around and say, you know, Black Lives Matter, we shouldn't be killing people and all this stuff. Like, how do those two come together? How can I look at T.I. and think, okay, this guy is talking about, you know, Black Lives Matter, cops need to be held accountable. Mm-hmm. But when I listen to his music, he's killing people.
Yeah. I mean, I haven't listened to any recent T.I., but, you know, especially like when you're starting out as an artist, you're reflecting what's happening in your hood. So like, you know, this is what I like about Jay-Z. So Jay-Z, when he first came out, he was rapping about what was happening with him. And as his career progressed, he started talking about art. He started talking about, you know, the things that are relevant in his life versus like trying to sell a facade. Because I'm like, dog, like you ain't gangster no more. You got like
for sure.
80,000 businesses. You know, chill out. And it's not necessarily a bad thing to talk about the bad things in the community, but like to promote violence is something else. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So it's like, yes, report what's happening, but also like report a solution. And even if you don't do it in the music, do it through interviews, do it through art, you know, make a 10 minute film about, you know, a situation that happened and how people progress from that. You know, there's different ways to do it. But you know, like the commercial music is mainly for money. You know, when people have that focus, they don't generally care about what's happening.
What's the state of American hip-hop? Because I mean there's various conversations going on in terms of what the sound is. Obviously I know there's different states that represent different crafts and different elements of how the hip-hop comes out, but especially this mumble rap conversation that's going on a lot right now. What's your supposed comment or view on the state of hip hop in an American aspect and what you've heard from SA?
The mumble rap, I can't stomach it. You know, it's like, dog, like I really don't know what you're saying, you know. You know, like that's not cool at all.
I mean, a lot of people went crazy about Panda. And I was like, look, I'd love the song if I heard more than I've got broads in Atlanta.
Yeah.
I mean,
credit cards and the scammers.
For me personally, I just don't get it.
Yeah, it's cool like to have a balance. Like, okay, you can listen to ignorant shit, then you can flip it and listen to like De La Soul's new album. You know, like that. You know, the whole druggy rap. Like, my problem with it is that, you know, people are promoting using lean, using MDMA, using all, like combining all these drugs, you know? Which is what we don't need, is to have the next generation drugged up and kind of oblivious to everything else that's happening around it. So that's my only qualm with that.
You know, but I mean, what I've also noticed, even in this country, like with a lot of young people, the moment you start getting a bit too serious, okay, look, we need to do this, that, and the other. They switch off a little. But when you say turn up, it's a completely different side to that. How do you think, you know, we can better strike the balance as far as getting people to get their shit together?
Yeah, I mean, and that's something that I'm working on. And it can be done in different ways. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, the message doesn't have to be direct. You know what I'm saying? Like, who does it well? Old Lupe Fiasco, he used to do it really well and put messages without being very direct. And also using different type of art forms, you know, like your artwork can have the message. Your music video can have the message.
Yeah.
You know, So it doesn't have to be like spelled out in, yeah, in the music, yeah, you know, which I think would switch people
drags
off. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like you can write a verse about somebody that was on drugs and seemed cool and all this shit, and then he died. Like, yeah, you know, like, yeah, it could be done in different ways. You know, use storytelling and things of that nature.
In terms of the sound of this country, this continent, musically, mm-hmm, speaking, where how are we?
I think it's dope. I still kind of feel that the SA hip hop scene is kind of like still finding its identity. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be interesting now that like we have all these young kids like MT and Aries and Saudi West, etc. Because like all that shit's trap, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But, you know, some of the messages aren't negative like that. You know, like, you know, with Nasty C, for example, the Hell Nah song, like, yeah, you know, that chorus is like motivating, you,
yeah,
know?
Yeah.
So, you know, it's cool. And I'm kind of excited to see where things go, especially like the guys, the elite now, how they're going to stay relevant, especially like with these young kids. Because, yeah, like the young kids really got the streets on smash.
Yeah, they do.
Which is crazy.
That's why some of you have them as ghostwriters. We see you. You know you're getting old, bruh.
Yeah, we can tell the difference.
You need some kids in your verses.
Listen to the kids, bro.
You've done a couple of remixes of our elites in the country. What are you working on, and what have you done, I suppose?
What was the last remix you heard?
I didn't hear it, but I saw the AKA One Time remix that you did.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. I have another one. I haven't put it out yet. I put In Good over All the Way Up.
Yeah.
Ooh. Yeah, it worked well in the club, ooh, let me tell,
okay,
you.
Okay.
You know, so like I still use mashups to differentiate myself from other DJs, but now, you know, we're recording a couple records and whatnot, so expect to hear some dope stuff. And my agenda is to feature an SA artist with a US artist each, yeah, song, and kind of just like start that wave.
All right, let's jump into Spring Fiesta 2016, man.
Yeah.
So you're on the lineup. How did that relationship begin? How did you come into contact with the people at Soul Candy and all of that stuff?
It's funny too, because I went last year.
Yeah.
For the very first time, didn't know about it at all.
Yeah.
And I was just like blown away. It's like crazy. Like the energy and the different stages, and it's just like, I'm like, fuck, I need to do this shit. You know?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I mean, mind you, I always carry my book bag just in case, like, yo, somebody late, somebody laptop crash. Like, yeah, I'm good. Like, put me on.
Yeah.
The funny thing is I met the PR person, Sharish, because I had a videographer with me last year, and they were like, you can't be recording, blah, blah, blah. So then I explained to her what was the purpose of it, which that's another project, but I'll explain later.
Yeah.
And then so me and her got cool, and so I just started talking to her like, yo, like I need in on this lineup. And
yeah.
Spectacular and Naze are the guys usually in charge of the hip hop stage, and I have a good relationship with them, and you know, they know I fuck shit up when I DJ. So
yeah.
I'm actually the headliner. So I'm like the last person on it. So
woo!
You know. From being a spectator to that, I'm very excited and blessed.
Yeah, man.
It's going down though.
Really dope, really dope. In fact, I think I might be wrong, but I think Spring Fiesta is the biggest festival in this country as far as like that type of event is concerned.
Mm-hmm. Multifaceted,
like,
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they get what, over 20,000 people.
Yeah,
into crazy. The same space. It's crazy.
Yeah.
It is so insane.
And
so,
you can sleep there. You can tell. Like, you're good, man.
Yeah.
You don't need to go nowhere.
So I'm hoping like I can get on that main stage eventually. Hopefully in the next year or two.
What are your thoughts on house music, especially in this country? I mean, like at this point in time, in 2016, I feel like we are in a position whereby we're 50% house, 50% hip hop.
I don't think so.
Mm-hmm. And... Do you think hip hop is taking over?
It's like
no,
two.
No, no, no.
You don't think so?
No.
Well, not since Basil Dumo came out, but
yeah,
you know, she kind of resurrected it a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at most of the lineups that dominate the parties in this country, you're gonna have most probably 7 or 8 hours of house music and 2 of hip hop.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Well, it depends if it's like a township thing or if it's a club
thing
as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. For sure.
I'm in these streets.
Yeah. So I guess you're the perfect person to ask. Like the balance at this point in time, who is you know, edging the other? Because it's in a weird place right now.
I think it's in a good place. I just think, like, commercially, business-wise, it's almost 50-50. And then, like, it depends. Like, if you go to Bloemfontein, that's just, like, 80-20. Like,
yeah,
in favor of hip-hop. And if you go maybe, like, PE or East London, it might be slightly favoring house and whatnot.
Yeah.
So it really depends where you are as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so not a definitive answer, but it's fine. We'll keep
that's the best way. Sure. It's the best way I can answer that.
I came across a headline on social media.
Mm.
A reputable news source. Yes, okay, reputable. I was kind of deciding if it was. that Black Coffee wants to work with Kanye on his next album. Like, he wants Kanye on his personal album.
Yeah.
Which is a bit of a throw-off.
I don't think it would be hard for him to do that.
Yeah.
It would be interesting.
I mean, because remember, like,
sure,
Kanye has rapped on house stuff before. Like,
yeah,
with, what's her name? The American Boy song.
Yeah,
Estelle.
Yeah. Estelle, yeah.
He's done a house song with Madonna before. So, yeah, it's, I mean, it's something that's possible. And shit, isn't Black Coffee working with Beyonce already? So it's like, that's like her little brother, Kanye. So I'm she could set that up easily.
For sure.
Could you see that mix? I know you're versatile as fuck, but could you see that mix in terms of what you're working on?
What do you mean?
Sure, just jumping around between genres, in a sense.
Yeah, I mean, I would like another dream collaboration for me would be like Catronata and Tresor, you know, like,
yeah,
you know, the ear is there, dog. The ear is there. So, you know, I have a lot of combinations that, you know, I just write down and have in mind. So hopefully they come into fruition and we get it cracking.
This whole journey, has it been sort of a build up enticing us into what your sound is going to be? With the mixes and the remixes of songs, has that always just been a build up to where you are going now?
I guess it's just like it's not. I mean, I do plan things, but my sound, I haven't planned it out yet, and kind of just like I like to do stuff very organically. You know, you know, building relationships with people, and you know, I'm like, cool, like I think this beat suits you well, and I'm thinking about putting on this person to work with you, and kind of just like just playing chess. Yeah, so, you know, figuring it out and learning that greatness is a process.
Ooh. Can I get one of those American girls or South African girls? On the spot, just like that.
Ish. slightly favoring South African girls.
Slightly.
Even though they can get super clingy.
Ah.
From what I heard, but I don't know from experience.
Well.
Have you been mistaken for an African guy, South African, in the country?
Have
people come up to you and just spoken vernac to you like, hey, sure, Joe.
Yeah, I'm Johnny. Yeah. They do, but I don't think... I don't know. Some people come up to me like, okay, cool, you're American. and then other people just... But I think when they do talk to me in vernac, it's kind of just out of custom, you know.
All right, here's the next one. Is there a song that you find inappropriate?
Is there a song that I find inappropriate? Nah, there's an appropriate time for everything at different times.
So it's not necessarily about the song, it's about where.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, you know, you ain't gonna play no freak nasty shit on, I don't know, at a restaurant. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
But, you know, you can set the tone for different things.
Have you been stopped by police in the
all
States?
The time. Oh, no, both? Not a knot.
Okay.
Over here all the time.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they do those stops in William Nickel all the time.
Avoid that route, I suppose.
Yeah. In the States, I've been illegally searched plenty of times, like growing up in New York.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Okay.
A little bird whispered something to me about a documentary that you're working on.
Yeah.
You actually mentioned it a little bit earlier in passing. Can we just jump into that for a second?
Yeah. It's called USA, and the SA is in parentheses.
Yeah.
So, you know, it can mean United States of America, you South Africa, United States of Africa. You know, just I'm leaving it to the interpretation of the viewer.
Yeah.
And it's about different artists and DJs' experiences in the SA hip hop scene. You know, like where they came from, struggles that they had. You know, and also introducing me as a DJ in this market and in general.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's gonna be dope.
All right. Do we have a timeline as to when it'll be out? When can we expect it?
I really wanted to put it out next month, but I don't want to force it. And I know it's going to be holiday season soon and everybody's going to be out and about.
Yeah.
So I might wait till like after the new year.
Yeah.
And put it properly. And it's going to be narrated by somebody dope, okay, which I can't mention right now.
Ah, man. I thought we had an exclusive. Uh-oh.
But, you know, he's a big supporter of hip hop, and I'll just leave it at that.
Ah!
All right.
Crumbs around here.
Yeah.
Chance said that Fridays are for chill. What's your take on that stance?
That Fridays are for chill?
Yes. Since it's a Friday.
Oh. well, you know.
Will you be chilling, I suppose?
Nah.
Okay.
I don't know what that is.
Yeah. You know what? I feel like you should, like, on one of these good weekends, we should just jump into your bag and go wherever you go. It seems as if you have interesting weekends. In fact, like, interesting days, period. Yeah.
At times. At times, things are, very interesting. No comment.
All right, man. You know, the producers keep telling me to wrap this up. Dude, it's been so, so dope hanging out with you. I've learned a lot. I've learned a lot.
Sweet.
And thank you so much for coming through.
Yeah. And that's kind of like my whole thing. It's like I want to make it cool for all of us to work together. Like,
yeah.
Especially people of color. So,
For sure.
Through conversations and work, et cetera.
Yeah. All right. How do we keep up with you on social platforms, man? Twitter, Facebook?
Yeah. Instagram? So Facebook, just /DJ Supernova. Instagram, Twitter, @DJ SUPERNOVA. Stop spelling it super. Super. Yeah.
Super.
Dude, it curses. Super.
Super.
No,
yeah.
So, Snapchat is DJ Super, SUPER.NOVA.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, man. Thank you so much for coming through. Mr. Van Gibbon, do you want to take your seat or have you just decided it's time to run out of the studio?
The producer said.
All right. It's been so dope. Actually, we're actually going to be back next week. Like, this is us now, forever now. Between 2 and 3, you can catch us every Friday on cliffcentral.com. And I think for our very first one, we did pretty well.
This is global, man.
I think we did so dope.
So all over the place.
It was like an explosion of a star.
We did the...
yeah, you know, see, see what I did there?
We did the damn thing the right way, man. It's been so cool. Greatness is a process.
Yeah, yeah. And success, never.
And success, never.
Never. that's it. Success,
that
never.
That should be there in the byline, like success, never.
Never.
Hey, I'll tell the people at Rock Nation that.
Yeah, man.
Oh, yes.
All right, cool. So it's been really dope. So you can catch myself and Van Given next week Friday @Van Given @Jack_5'4". And just like that, we out of here, man. CliffCentral.com.